sound is.
Okay, we are back from another episode of Uzo Talk, and more importantly, so is Tom.
I am back, mate. I'm back with a vengeance.
Do you want to tell us where you've been for the last 3-4 weeks?
Mate, I've been living the dream. I've done what everyone wanted to do over the last few years, which is actually go back to Greece. Mate, you feel very lucky.
You are the envy of most Greeks in the diaspora, mate. You went back to the motherland.
I did.
And I cannot wait to hear these stories.
Mate, there's a lot of them too, so, you know, strap yourself in. But what a trip. There was a lot happening, a lot of good stuff for the podcast, a lot of just great stuff in general being back. I felt so good being back there, you know, even though there was a lot of work to be done, you know, because when you're away for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Things tend to pile up, so there was a bit of cleaning up to do. But, mate, by and large, you know, very relaxing. You know, good to be on a Greek beach, sipping ouzo and sipping a beer.
You're killing me. Sorry, already, mate.
I did tell you to come with me, though.
You did a couple of times. You know, I should have gone anyway. But that's the thing. We haven't been back since, what, 2019, since COVID.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
COVID wiped out, what, 2-3 years, and we're virtually opening up. Greece is opening up. You know, properly now.
It is.
2022.
And in a big, bad way as well. There's a lot of people over there at the moment, you know, and so much so that business owners in Greece right now all are saying the same thing. When I was asking them, they're like, this feels, I mean, this is in June, mind you.
Yeah.
This feels as though we're in August.
Yeah.
Because of the volume of people.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
The difficult thing for everyone over there now as well is that everyone is struggling for staff.
Yeah.
To a T. Everyone is saying the same thing. It's like, we can't find anyone. We can't find waiters. We can't find people to drive buses and all that sort of thing to sort of cater to all the tourists. So, but they're making a go of it.
Yeah.
They are making a go of it.
I read in the other day in the, I think it was the Kathimerini or it might even been Greek City Times, would you believe?
Yeah.
The tourism ministry, they said the figures from 2019 are actually up. Well, they're predicting to go up by about 10%.
Yeah.
From what I read, it was $18.2 billion for tourism receipts, which is flights, hotel bookings overnight.
Yep.
They're predicting something like $20
billion.
Yeah, so 2019 was a bumper year. It was the last year before COVID kicked in. It was one of the greatest seasons we ever had. This is going to exceed it this year. So that's amazing.
Well, there was another article. It may have been the same article, but they were talking about the capacity of certain airports in Greece for Corfu. I think they're operating at something like 90-95% of capacity pre-COVID. These are huge numbers for this time of year. It's not even the peak. It's nowhere near the peak. You know, peak is like, you know, sort of later in July and August. And mate, we're nowhere near it yet. It's good signs.
Yeah, no, it is. Look, can't wait to hear all these stories, mate. But first things first, I think we need a drink.
I think so too. Let's do it.
Let's do it, mate. Cheers, mate. Welcome back.
Yamas.
Yamas, mate.
Good to see you again, mate. Good to see you. I missed you.
It's great. I actually miss sitting in this seat, you know, having this black thing facing me called a microphone. I missed all that.
Did you?
It's really weird, the things that you miss.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't miss it in the same way because I was actually a little bit busy while I was over there.
Well, I was going to say, you weren't there just for a holiday, were you?
No.
Actually promoting Uzo Talk and meeting some special celebrities along the way.
There was a little bit of that, yeah. Well, where do you want to start?
Actually, you know what? I want to know about your trip over there first.
Okay.
First, I guess, season for us after COVID. What was it like jumping on a plane? First of all, what airline did you go with? What was it like going through the airport?
Yeah,
anything changed? Yeah, maybe start off with that. Tell us, what was it like leaving Sydney Airport?
All right, so look, we flew Etihad, and look, as you well know, there were a lot of restrictions during lockdown here in Sydney. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't do anything.
Did you have to wear a space suit to get on the plane? Or?
Well, not anymore. Before, you used to have to do, like, you know, a myriad of tests, you know, in the lead up to your flight leaving. You needed to wear a mask. You needed to do all this stuff. I mean, you still do need to wear a mask in the airport. Most airlines, you know, enforce it quite strictly while you're on the plane as well, that you need to wear your mask.
So you have to wear a mask on the plane?
Yes. But I have to say, Etihad, they were a little bit lax about it. So,
okay.
I mean, the majority of people on my flight, there and back, pretty relaxed about it. You know,
so you could tuck it underneath your nose.
Well, some people just didn't even have it on. At one stage, I needed to get up and go to the bathroom, and I just had it off. I'd forgotten, just went to the bathroom and did my thing. Care. Whereas, you know, a mutual friend of ours, went with Qatar recently, and they were really militant about it. Mm. Like they weren't mucking around. Like if you had it under your nose, man, they were pretty quick to get onto you. But
really,
man, wearing a mask for that amount of time, it's an absolute killer. Oh,
being stuck in a tin can over an aeroplane and then putting a mask on.
Mate, it was horrible, I've got to say. More than anything, you know what the worst part was?
Yeah.
It was hurting my ears. It wasn't so much the breathing. It wasn't so much my face or my nose. It was the bands around my ears, the loops. They were killing me at one stage. So
I did notice that, actually. You got monkey ears. No.
look, it was horrendous. But look, fortunately, they were a little bit lax about it, so you could sort of take it off a little bit. I mean, look.
Did you have to do any COVID tests before you got on and got off?
No. You know? So we were all clear beforehand. You basically just show up to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
They've sort of left it up to you now to be honest about the fact whether you're sick or not. So if you're unwell.
Vaccination passes and...
We weren't asked for anything.
Wow.
Everything was
pretty clear. Mask on. The only thing was mask. You had
correct.
To put a mask on, join the queue, check in, check your bags, jump on that's the plane, it. Mask on, very loosely.
That's it.
Have it on.
Okay. On the way back, though, we needed to fill out a form online. It was basically like a health check. I can't remember what the name of it. I think it was a DDF or something like that. I can't remember what it stands for, even.
Mm.
But basically, you needed to have that form filled out before you left for Australia. And it's a digital form. And you know what? It is a pain in the ass to fill out. You need to download an app. You need to do all this stuff. And, you know, and if you've got a dependent as well, like we did, you know, got a young kid with us, it wasn't very obvious how you needed to fill it out. Like, it wasn't a very good user experience. So, you know, if the Australian government's listening, Department of Immigration or, you know, whatever it is, mate, get your shit together.
Okay.
make this process easier. We're more than happy to fill it out, but make it easier to fill out.
Yeah. But far out. Okay. Well, the good thing was you got on the plane, no need for vaccination passes, even though you are vaccinated.
Yep.
The only thing was put a mask on very loosely.
Pretty much.
So what was it like landing in Greece? How did you feel when you landed? So where did you go? You caught Etihad?
So Etihad goes from Sydney to Abu Dhabi and Abu Dhabi to Athens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about a 13-14 hour flight
from
Sydney to Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
About a 4 hour layover or so.
4 hours?
Yeah, 3 to 4 hours. Okay. I think our flight came in a little bit late, so we had a little bit less, which was good. From Abu Dhabi, it's about four and a half hours to Athens.
So what did you do in Abu Dhabi? Just walk around the terminal?
We actually spent one night in Abu Dhabi on the way back.
Okay.
Because it's quite a long layover, and you know, went out to dinner there. It's actually quite a nice city.
Abu Dhabi, yeah. Apparently, they're in competition with Dubai. Apparently, they're two brothers, Etihad and Emirates.
Yeah,
the two cities are rivals. The two airlines are rivals, and they say Abu Dhabi is more the affluent one, but Dubai is more the show-off one.
Is that right?
Apparently, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and this is what I read. So don't quote me. It's not Nick's opinion. I haven't been to Abu Dhabi, but it's what I read. But apparently Abu Dhabi is more the civilized, but it's still very affluent. There's a lot of money through there.
Dubai definitely looks a little more glitzy,
show-off-y.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi's pretty good, though, because where we stayed at Yas Marina is where the Formula One Grand Prix happens as well. So
we were
in the hotel where... You know, it sort of goes under the hotel and around it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty glitzy as well.
Okay. So what about the heat in Abu Dhabi?
Unbearable. They said it was 30 degrees, but that humidity was an absolute killer. I've never experienced humidity like that before. Horrendous.
So we're talking June in Abu Dhabi. 30 degrees.
It wasn't 30. It had to be more than that. It felt more like 40, 40, 45.
Because Dubai at that time, they're only like, what, an hour?
Yeah, not
right
even.
Away. Yeah, they're very close.
100 something Ks away from each other. You know what I mean? So,
and we were in Dubai. It's like a smack in the face. As soon as the doors opened and you left the terminal to grab a cab, it was like a sfaillade in the face.
Smack. Instantly sticky everywhere. Yeah. It's like, I need a shower.
Exactly. Couldn't breathe.
But look, it's a good experience.
Yeah,
but look,
you
know, heading over there this time, I think you asked, you know, what was it like landing in Athens?
Mm.
First of all, the landing itself, whoever whoever the captain was or whoever performed the landing, let the bottom drop out on this particular landing.
Was it an A380 you're on?
No, A320 from A320. From Abu Dhabi. Yeah, it's only a small one from Abu Dhabi.
Shit.
But yeah, we flew in and it felt as though, you know how in the cockpit they, you know, there's this automatic voice that does the countdown in the altitude, you know, like
Breeze. No.
It would have been better if he'd said that, because fair dinkum, you know, in the cockpit I was envisioning, okay, it's like 100, 50, 40, 30, 20. Yeah. And then as soon as he got to 10, he just gave up.
Yeah.
And he just let it drop. I'm just like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
But look, now we got there safely. We're all good. But yeah, with that, you know, that last touchdown was a little bit over the top.
Sounds like a second officer training.
Yeah, someone was training, I reckon.
Yeah.
And look, the weather was fine, so there's no excuses. But look, honestly, it felt unbelievable to be back there.
Yeah.
You know, there's that feeling. It's very strange. And I mean, I suspect you must experience it as well. When you land there, it feels like you're home. You say, or at least we do, it's like, well, welcome home.
Mm.
And then on the way back, we land here in Sydney and it's the same thing. Welcome home.
Okay.
Very, very strange feeling. But
so you felt a connection as soon as you landed. Absolutely. You're homely, a connection. Okay.
Always. Beautiful. So it was great to be back there and to think, okay, we've, you know, we went through COVID. We did all that. We were denied being able to come here for so long, and now we're finally here. Mm. So it was a huge relief more than anything.
What was it like through customs? Was it?
Lax.
Okay.
Well, no, I shouldn't say lax, because it's not. It's not lax, but compared to Australia and the US in particular, I mean, we've been through, you know, customs quarantine and all that sort of thing many times through both those ports. It's a process in itself, and you know, there's just banks and banks of people, you know, wanting to check your bag, wanting to X-ray things, wanting to, you know, wanting you to fill in forms or whatever it is. In Athens, it was literally just. Okay, who's got an EU passport? Who's got a non-EU passport? You guys this way, you guys that way. Here are our passports. Yasas, tikanete, all that sort of thing. Stamp, see you later.
That's it.
Go pick up your bags and you're out. Yeah. Whereas in Sydney, it's a process.
Yeah. You know,
and in the US as well.
Actually, I remember hearing when Athens had the Olympics in 2004, that's when, I think it was the first Olympics after September 11th, and there was a huge emphasis on security in Athens. I said, how is Athens going to keep all their athletes safe, and are they going to manage the process of keeping everyone safe and secure, the airports? And I think it was like the last day of the Olympics, a couple of reporters went into Athens and spoke to cab drivers, and so I said, look, because obviously there was no security issues, nothing happened. And I said, why do you think there was no security issues in Athens? And the cab driver said, look, hey, they don't hate us. You know, we're friends with everyone. You know, they don't hate us. So
it's a good point.
Yeah, that's right. So no one's got an issue with Greece. Friends with everyone. Yeah. And if you go through Greece, mate, there's half of the Middle East through there. If you go through Mykonos, all the islands and so forth, they're all full of sheiks and Arabs. Yeah. And it's like a central hub where everyone sort of gets on.
Absolutely.
So I can understand everyone thinks, oh, yeah, Greeks are lazy and slow, but look, there's no real need for it at this stage.
Well, look, let me tell you, it doesn't feel as though there's any sort of laziness or anything like that. It's more a case of the systems in the airport are actually really good. That has to be said about Athens Airport and actually all the airports in Greece now.
Yeah.
They've got good processes. Things happen pretty quickly. There's quite good efficient announcements. You know, and you and I know a thing or two about these things. And they've got to be commended for it, because... Yeah. High volume of people, much higher volumes than what we experience here.
Mm.
And they're absolutely killing it. The biggest challenge, I think, over there are the airlines trying to keep up with it.
Mm.
So there were a few delays in domestic flights this time around with Aegean, even the new airline as well. I think it's Sky Express or something like that.
Mm.
Plenty of delays that we sort of heard about, but that's kind of across the board, you know.
Yeah.
Them trying to keep up with the demand that there is at the moment. And there is a lot of demand to fly right now.
Again, from what I read, same article, I said there was 31 million visitors in 2019. So they must be doing something right. They're getting more people than, I guess, what we have here in Australia.
Oh, for sure.
Very efficient. So in 2022, it sounds like that number is going to be broken.
Absolutely.
The way they're going.
So absolutely.
Kudos to the Greeks, you know, in Athens. They've come a long way since when we went in there in the 80s and 90s with Olympic Airlines, which would be another story, I'm sure. But
yeah.
But they've come well, and even Aegean Airlines, they've won all these awards in Europe now for you know, being a premium airline.
Yeah, Skytrax Awards, you know, how many years running, I think, you know, the best regional airline in Europe.
Yeah.
And you can see why. You know, they do a fantastic job.
Definitely.
But just with the airports as well, it really stood out to me because our next flight after arriving in Athens was to go on to Corfu, which is obviously where we're from. And has to be said, the renovated airport in Corfu is awesome.
Really?
Yeah. So that was one of the airports that Fraport, the German company, bought out a number of years ago. And they bought out a number of regional airports, including Mykonos, Santorini, and a bunch of others. And they've invested heavily in all of these ports. And you can see, you can definitely see it. They're now in line. It's not like you're at an outpost anymore. There are really good processes in place. But, you know, the buildings are brand new. They're state of the art. There's great security. There's all sorts of things that, you know, the days of old that you remember, you know, showing up at a Kotetsu, basically, and then jumping on a 737, it's over.
And the manga behind the counter with the cigarette.
Yeah, mate, that's all gone. All gone.
Yeah.
You know, now there's, you know, in Corfu Airport, I even took a photo of it. There was a Burger King in there. There was a Starbucks. There's, you know, proper duty free because it's an international airport. There's, you know, flights coming in from all over the all over Europe. So, you know, a lot of British Airways flights coming in and out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to hear, mate. Yeah, look, and Aegean Airlines, I actually used to meet up with them twice a year, the Aegean Airlines staff, through my role, previous role.
Is that right?
Yeah, top-notch airlines. Yeah. I can't praise them enough.
Yeah. I've got to say as well, though, you know, flying in this day and age in economy all the way from Australia, that experience, I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but you'd think that I'd be used to that trip. You cannot get used to sitting in such a small area and getting comfortable in economy. It's not possible the way these seats are.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, for those who, you know, who don't or haven't done the trip from Australia, it's an entire day. I mean, you're talking about 18 hours in the air at the very least.
Yeah.
And it is just a punish.
Yeah.
At that time.
The good thing is they've got a shitload of movies now. And the food's top notch. There's one thing good about the Middle Eastern carriers. They've got an abundance of cabin crew, and the food's top notch. Like they win, like you said, Skytrax before. They're always in the top 10.
Yeah.
Etihad, Dubai, Qatar, Emirates, and so forth. So, look, it is getting easier. Seats are getting a bit more comfortable from what we did in the 90s where...
Oh, for sure.
You had in the middle of the hallway a screen would drop, which is about, you know, 10 inches or 3 or 4 inches wide.
And I remember those, mate.
And that was your movie.
I remember.
Yeah, remember. Anyway, we won't get into those. We'll get into those stories. But yeah, no, okay. So, what aircraft type did you jump on from Athens to Corfu? Do you remember?
That was an A320 as well. So,
okay.
I can't speak highly enough of that.
Yeah,
that aircraft. You know, the Airbus A320 is brilliant. You know, even from here, you know, from Sydney to Abu Dhabi, the Boeing 777.
Yeah,
great aircraft.
Great aircraft.
You know, still one of my favorites. But it sounds. I heard that Etihad was actually going to retire all of their fleet of 777s. It was supposed to have already happened.
Yeah.
But it hasn't happened yet. It seems that most of these Middle Eastern carriers are sort of moving towards the A350 anyway, which is, you know, an equally...
They're long range. They can go further.
Absolutely.
The best I've had, A380. Most comfortable, best seats, best service.
Are we going to see it for much longer, though, is the question. You know, there's a lot of airlines sort of scrapping them and, you know, putting them into storage because they're apparently very expensive to run. So
they are.
It's a shame because it's, you know, in terms of the experience for the passenger, it's fantastic.
Well, that's the rage now. So it's the A350s or 777s that are going to take you long distance. And
the 787.
Yeah, oh, exactly, 787. So we've got 787s now going from Perth to London.
Yeah, the Qantas, absolutely.
And Perth to Rome as well.
Yep.
You know, it's massive distance.
Well, we'd love to see them go seasonally to Athens as well.
see if we can get on there. It's happening, from what I heard.
Is that right?
They're definitely discussing it. You know, I read it somewhere. I don't know the source, but there is definitely in discussions of going either Sydney or Melbourne to Athens. I don't know when, but it was an article that I read. So that's the source.
So non-stop.
I'm not the source. It would be non-stop,
Non-stop from Australia? Yeah. So from the eastern seaboard to Athens?
Yeah, definitely.
That would be unbelievable.
There is a market for that. I think that's what we're reading. So Greece is on the rise economically. There's a lot of US businesses investing in Greece now, and they see it as a a new merging hotspot for Europe now. So there is a market for that. And yeah,
100%.
Qantas are all over it. So they're looking at that now.
Well,
so,
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed we have another way to get over there.
Yeah, hopefully it comes through. Yeah. As you know, there's a lot of due diligence with all these things that go on and on and on. But
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Right. Well, problems with your mic.
Yeah, it's sort of swinging all over the place. What are we doing here?
What are you doing, mate?
I don't know. But yeah, look, mate, that's how we got there this time and got back. It was I think we've kind of gotten used to it now.
Yeah.
You know, if that's at all possible. But mate, COVID didn't really affect it too much other than the mask wearing.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. So you landed in Corfu. Mm-hmm. Did someone pick you up or did you just make your own way back to your place?
We hired a car this time and I got to drive.
Okay.
For probably the first time over there. So that was fairly liberating being able to do that. You know,
Actually, do you have a license to drive in Greece or how did you
You can
that?
Actually use your Australian license to drive over there now.
Wow.
So you don't need to have anything else other than your domestic license. So
if cops pull you over for whatever reason, you show them your Australian license.
That's it.
Even though we drive on the other side of the road.
Yep, that's it.
They're okay with that.
Just on that, let's just get this off my chest. Everyone for years over there has been saying to me or trying to discourage me from driving over there because they're like, oh, the roads are different. You're driving on the other side of the road. You know, it's too dangerous here. It's like,
you drive the speed limit? No.
Yeah. It's like, guys, you know, the laws of physics still apply here. You know, you can still drive. Yeah, the systems are different. We drive on the other side of the road, but it's not incomprehensible.
Yeah.
I got to say, this was the first time that I drove over there. I found it easier. I found that it suited me a little bit. You know, I was like, you know what? This makes sense. I'm happy with this.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's not too bad. Once you get used to sitting in the passenger seat with a steering wheel for us.
Because it is the passenger seat. Let's just, you know, make that clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, it is. I drive as well in Europe.
But on a moped.
No, a car as well. Oh, did I tell you my moped story?
You've told me personally. Should you share it with everyone?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I'm from your hometown, mate. I've actually got.
Oh yeah.
I've got two tattoos from Corfu.
Do you really?
I do, mate. Unfortunately, they're not the tattoos that everyone's thinking of. I was 21.
Real backpacking. Skid
marks. Yeah, that's right. 21-year-old backpacking through Europe. Hired a moped. I had thongs on, St. George footy shorts, and that's it. Nothing else. And I rode around the whole island of Corfu, and it was the last bend heading back to Corfu town. Actually, no, heading back to the Pink Palace where we're staying.
Yeah.
Great place.
Yeah.
Actually, we had a toga night that night as well. So
no.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen there.
So much fun. And there's a bit of gravel. I thought, I'll give it a bit. So I've got a motorbike license, so I sort of know a little bit about riding bikes. And anyway, I was in the gravel skidding, and then I thought, I'll counter steer where you turn your steering wheel the other way around to pop back up because I started to slide out. Anyway, because I was in gravel, nah, that's it. The bike went.
Yeah.
I went. I started off on my forearm, my palms first. So I skidded on my palms. Somehow I turned on my backside and skidded on my backside. And I was more concerned about the bike. I thought, shit, I want to get my big deposit back. Even though I was bleeding from my palms and my two ass cheeks had gravel in them.
Yeah.
And
geez, that shower after that skid would have been fantastic.
It was. So they're my tattoos on each ass cheek. So
outstanding.
So I got up, wheeled the bike, dusted it off, cleaned. Ah, fuck, it's all right. A few scratches.
Put a spit, went home, bit of spit on it.
A bit of spit. Yeah. Yep. Went home, had a shower, changed my shorts.
Yep.
Because I bloodied.
Yep.
My shorts. Anyway, I went down, got the deposit back. The guy goes, yeah, you okay? Yeah, good. And as I walked back, he noticed two blood stains on my shorts that I put on. He goes, hey, what happened? Did you fall off? I said, look, yeah, this truck trying to run me off the road. I fell off a bit. It's fine. It's all good. He looked at the bike and he goes, then better as in Luxie.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh, that was nice.
And then that night, we had the toga party. And obviously, we had to wear a toga. So I put patches and on my elbows and palms. And I couldn't walk. So my left foot was scrapped as well. And I was limping. I thought, oh, shit, how am I going to get through? But I wanted to go because I had all my other mates there. We had a good parea.
Yep.
So I limped through. I had to tell the story about 20 times. Hey, what happened to you? Oh, fuck, it's what happened. Because I had bandages everywhere. And I couldn't walk. And I was limping and limping. And I sat down and I said, come on. And then by the end of the night, we started drinking and drinking.
And you forget all about it.
From the limp I had, mate, I was dancing on the dance floor. And, you know, it's such a good time, spinning people on the dance floor. And I forgot all my injuries.
How good's that?
But the next morning, yeah, I'll say I got stuck in the bed. Put it that way. I had to peel myself off. Yeah, that's how bad it was.
That's horrible.
Yeah, had a few too many drinks, fell asleep on my back, but that's where my scabs were, and I had to peel myself off the bed. But anyway, that was one story. One of many stories of my backpacking days.
I think we're going to have to put a graphic warning on this episode for that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Velcro.
I know.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh. Shivers.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't good, mate. It was really bad. But anyway, sorry, back to you. It's Tom's story.
What were we saying? So where did we get up to?
So you're in Corfu now. So what was the main purpose of you going back to Corfu? Was it a holiday?
Look, it was mostly to visit family because we've got a lot of family and family friends and all that sort of thing over there. So, mate, went over there, you know, spent a little bit of time on the beach, reconnecting with family that we haven't seen for these couple of years, which was the most important thing. And, yeah, just doing all that sort of stuff, you know, reconnecting more than anything. But,
good stuff.
But it was equally about getting some stuff for the podcast as well. So, you know, there was some good stuff happening around there.
Yeah. So heaps of tourists in Corfu, you're saying?
A lot. So many people. And, yeah, like I said before, people over there feel as though it's August already with the number of people that are coming through.
Shit, okay.
I could even tell.
Mm.
You're walking through Corfu town and you're driving on the streets. There are so many people around. It's been a long time since I've seen that many people and I've never seen them there that early.
Mm.
So again, it bodes very well for the 2022 summer season for everyone over there because so many people over there make their living out of tourism.
Most airline staff would know because of staff travel, you always leave end of May is probably the best time to leave because you're going to get seats.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually spend our European summer through May and June.
Yeah, on the fringes.
That's right. And then the Europeans come, I guess the Italians and the Brits come in, end of July or through August.
Usually when all the schools are closed, you know, during their summer holidays, that two-month period, July, August, I think.
Yeah, and we sort of avoided that for that reason. It's just so busy. But you say it was like that in June.
Yes. And bear in mind, you know, there's not a lot of Russians traveling at the moment because of what's happening in the world right now, or Ukrainians, who make up a fair portion of people traveling to Greece. Even though they weren't around, so many people from the US, so many from the UK as well, and a lot of Australians as well.
Mm.
Unbelievable. A lot of French as well.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, obviously the Russian, Ukrainian types are not around at the moment. If they were able to travel right now, it'd be even bigger.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Like I said, the article we read, 2019 was a bumper year. It was massive.
Yeah.
And apparently we're going to exceed it.
Yeah.
And good point you made. There would be no Russians or Ukrainians or people from that region.
That's right.
So, yeah. No, good stuff. So tell us, mate, Corfu, what else was happening in Corfu? Keep on sending me all these photos, you bastard, you know. While we're here freezing and we had like 3 solid weeks of fucking rain here.
Now, look, you're talking about the photos from the beach.
Yeah.
Beach.
And the little bars you went to.
Yeah, look, there was a bit of that happening, And I'm sure at some stage you'll head over there as well and do the same to me.
Yeah, I'll have to.
The jealousy.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I saw the other day? I think it was in Mykonos. There's a new thing in some of these Greek islands where you have a shot and the barman slaps you across the face. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but it sounds fun if you're the barman.
Yeah, apparently it's the in thing now. Well, I don't know if it's I wouldn't do it, but the young generation, they have a shot of something and the barman paints their hand with black and white paint and they give you a sfalyara.
Are the barman Greek?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it sounds like, mate, this is just their opportunity to give back.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like mehis prixia popsia. I'm going to give it back to you. You know what I mean?
Classic.
That's their version of responsible service of alcohol.
Yeah, and there's another version of it as well, where you have a shot and you put a bike helmet on, and they hit you with a skateboard.
Okay,
hit you across the head.
This sounds like something that would happen in EOS.
Mate, look it up. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was Mykonos. I read it somewhere actually, and I saw the videos. If you look at it, if you Google it. It's the in thing now at the moment. So you have a shot and you have a sfagliata.
Listeners, take a get on YouTube and see if you can find that. I haven't seen it, but okay.
But don't get any funny ideas, mate. I know we're having shots at the moment.
We are drinking Wuzo at the moment. We opened up with a little bit of the Murnaroraki
that's good shit. Oh, I love it. Tsipro's my favorite thing now.
Yeah,
especially in winter. Yeah, I love it.
Should we change the name of the podcast? Tsipro Talk? It doesn't have the same ring, does it?
Tsipro Talk? Yeah, not really. No. How good was Angelo Tsourukas, the champion? A couple of photos of him on Instagram wearing the Wuzo Talk cap.
In Disneyland.
Yeah.
Well, Disneyland first, and he wore it somewhere else as well. It was great.
Yeah, he loves it, mate. There's been a few posts of him wearing it. So.
Yeah, well, we're happy that he's enjoying wearing that cap. Shout out to you, Ange, but that's a good segue because someone else, very important, a very important Greek, has his very own Wuzo Talk hat right now.
Mate, this is unbelievable.
should I tell the story?
Mate, I think you should, mate. Yeah. Should we start with do the Moss first? Should we go in sequence? Tell us what you did in Athens. So we've talked about Corfu. So there's a specific reason why you went to Athens.
Yeah, so I went to Athens because, obviously we are on soundis.gr as well. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't checked us out there, make sure you visit soundis.gr and listen to the podcast on that platform. You can also download the app as well. Just make sure you go to the website. We were invited basically to be interviewed on Rithmos, which is pretty much the biggest radio station in Greece and in Athens. And shout out to Maria Yorgakena, who actually performed the interview. So I went and met with them, and I did a roughly 4 to 5 minute interview in Greek. Entirely in Greek.
It was fantastic. You know what, for me, you guys talk so quick.
Oh, really?
It was like on speed dial. I thought, shit.
Did I sound like I was a local?
You did, actually. You said it really well. Yeah. Well, for those of you that haven't heard it, it's actually on our YouTube site.
Look up. It's on YouTube, and it's also on... we put a snippet on Instagram as well, I think. So, go and have a look. You can tell me how good Greek yourselves. Is.
Look, it was. It was impeccable, actually. It's a lot better than mine. But I just can't believe how quick they talk. Oh, my God.
She was pretty quick. It sort of threw me off guard a little bit, like I needed to be pretty... pretty with it. Yeah. So obviously I hadn't had anything to drink that day. I was popped up on about 4 Freddos and,
I remember whatever. You rang me.
Yeah, actually I did, yeah. Well, yeah. I was in...
Hey, Nick, I'm about to go in.
Well, I was in Ermu at the time. Mm. Just off Ermu in one of the coffee shops, and I gave Nick a call and I was just like, okay, I'm about to go in. I'm a little bit nervous, but, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, but by that point, I genuinely had about 4 Freddos. So, I was high as a kite.
Yeah, mate, you were brilliant. It was really good.
Thanks,
mate. It was
mate.
Awesome, actually.
Yeah. No, it was good. Top it was job. Good to get the word out in Athens.
Yeah.
There's been some good feedback as well. And, oddly enough, a lot of our listeners are in Greece. And certainly a lot of the people that watch our videos on YouTube are in Greece as well. So shout out to everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And, we really hope, you stay on board with us and stay in touch with us as well. Or for the remainder of this particular season of Wuzo Talk and well into the future. It was great to be in Greece, sort of spruiking what this podcast is about in the motherland, I guess.
Definitely. No, you did well. Like I said, we had a bit of a lull period while you were away. But look, I think now that we're back, we'll start producing more shows, and the Greek listenership has gone up. As we can see all the data, who's listening, and the numbers are increasing all the time. Our numbers are really good. But the rise of Greeks from Greece listening is huge. Well done, guys. Yeah,
thank you so much to everyone who listened to that particular interview and who are listening to the podcast, and we're going to bring you so much more in the next few months. But back to the story, mate. Let me tell you what happened. This is amazing. You couldn't have planned this, right? I went to Athens particularly to do that interview at Lithmos. And I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I saw, and oddly enough, it was on Greek City Times, in my Facebook feed, there was a story that said the Adetokumbo brothers are going to be at Athens Airport. And I'm like, oh, geez, okay, so what time? And I couldn't find what time this was all going to happen because... Yeah. They were opening this clothing store called Adetokumbros.
It was a clothing store?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got their own line of clothing.
I forgot to ask you what it was. I thought it was like a frappe house or something.
No. So they've created their own line of clothing.
Okay.
And the proceeds of which are going to a good cause. They've got a charity basically that helps, I think it's immigrant, you know, migrant families and kids and all that sort of thing. It's all for a fantastic cause.
Wow.
The clothing is fantastic as well. It's a really good initiative. So, you know, shout out to you guys doing a fantastic job with, you know, looking out for families and kids that were in a similar position to themselves.
Good on you, Yanni.
Growing up. Yeah.
Yanni, Thanasi, Costa.
Yep.
Alexandros.
Yep.
What's the other one?
Francis as well.
And Francis.
Yeah.
Champion. Bravo, Pedro. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm reading this article and I'm just like, geez, okay, am I going to make it? Because I've got to be back at the airport, you know, for a 6:30 flight.
Mm-hmm.
When is this going down? You know, I thought for sure it's going to be while I'm in the studio. But leave it to my mum to save the day. She sent me the article as well, saying, "Oh, did you know this is happening today?" This mum's in Australia at this point, and I go, "Yeah, I saw it. I don't know what time it's happening." She goes, 3:15.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
She's the best,
mate. She's Reuters. Seriously, yeah. Leave it to mum.
Your mum's the best.
And I said, "Okay, well, that means I can kind of make it, I reckon." So straight from the studio, I jump in a cab.
I think you rang me again.
Yeah,
honey, what do you reckon?
Yeah, so I jumped in a cab and thought, if I'm going to make it and if I'm any chance of seeing these boys,
yeah,
I'm going to have to go now and line up.
Mm.
So I go there and there's no one lined up.
Yeah,
but this is like, you know, 3 hours before.
Yeah,
right. So I go in there. I thought, you beauty. I'm committed to this now as well because, you know, my little one's, you know, loves Adedo Kumbo.
Yeah.
You know, loves Yannis. So
yeah.
I thought, you know, I've got to get him an autograph.
Mm.
So I go into the shop and I buy a few things, you know, a couple of T-shirts and whatever. And I just hang around. I start milling around outside the shop. And as more people started showing up, I just sort of inserted myself outside. And that became the front of the line. So I was first in line.
Wow.
With this other guy from the US who unfortunately couldn't stick around. He was from Texas.
Mm.
He couldn't stick around because he had another flight.
Okay.
And he had to leave 10 minutes before they showed up.
Shit.
So, unlucky. Yeah, it was unfortunate for, you know, for him. But, mate, I was the number one person in line.
Fantastic.
And this line was like a kilometer long by the time the boys showed up.
He's like a Greek god in Greece.
It was incredible scenes as well. All of Greece's media was there, all the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
There was a camera crew from Disney as well. I suspect for like bonus material for the Rise movie. I suspect it'll come out on DVD, Blu-ray, whatever.
Sure.
So those scenes from that signing, I suspect will be somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And mate, I'm pretty sure that I'll be in there somewhere. because yeah, like I was first in line.
Yeah,
so, you know, but it just came down to commitment.
Well, he's like us, the Greek diaspora.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he is.
Well, fantastic. He is now, because of him living in the US. And I actually, when I went up to get my stuff signed.
This is the bit I wanted to hear, so tell us. So you went up.
Yeah, I'll go up.
Tell us exactly what you did.
Fortunately enough, I had a couple of Uzo Talk hats with me.
Fantastic.
One of which I was wearing anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what, I'm going to give him one. I'll give him a hat, you know.
Fantastic. So, great idea.
Yannis now has his very own Uzo Talk hat, which we're very happy to have. And, you know, there's a photo up on Instagram of, you know, the two of us together.
Fantastic.
He signed our stuff. And, you know, I actually said to the boys when I got there, I'm like, oh, I'm from Australia. But I think Thanasi interpreted it as he's come from Australia just to see us. I didn't have the heart to say to him, no, I was here already. But because you know, he goes, what did you say? I go, I'm from Australia. And he turned to all the camera guys. He's like, guys, this guy's from Australia. Like, you know, incredulously as though, like, oh, my God, you know, like, that's commitment.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter was it took a lot of commitment to be there for that long.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
I was in line for 3 hours. Shit. And they were late, too.
Wow.
And I was just lucky that my flight left at, like, 6:30. So, you know, I had a little bit of time up my sleeve.
Mate, so tell us, what did you say to him? What was the first word you said to Yannis?
Well, congratulations on what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. You know,
who was there? Was it Yannis?
It was all
Thanasi.
Of them.
Oh, yeah. All five of them.
All of them were there. Apparently, they signed autographs for about an hour or so. I'm guessing a lot of people would have missed out, unfortunately, because of just how big that line was.
Mm.
I mean, it was snaking all down the terminal.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it was like 8 deep.
You know? Oh, he's the world's best basketballer.
And as soon as they walked in, the MVP chant went up.
MVP.
Okay.
Wow.
So that was pretty special.
Yeah,
They had the NBA trophy in the store as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just really special stuff. It's not every day you get to do something like that, you know. But the best part for me was that, you know, I managed to get something signed for the little one.
Yeah, beautiful.
Was very appreciative, and you know, Yannis was very nice. All of them were lovely.
Yeah,
you know, and it was just more a case of, you know, congratulations on mm-hmm. your achievements, and we're proud of you.
Yeah, good stuff. And did
which
you,
we are.
We are, definitely we are. You know, and we weren't, well, we can touch on the movie if you like, but did you
we
mention...
We will touch on the movie, I think, with its own dedicated episode, I reckon, because, yeah. mate, that was outstanding. That
Very film. Moving. Great movie. Yeah.
Boys, we'd love to have you on if you're listening.
Definitely. Guys, name the time, the day, anywhere, we're there.
Mate, we'll fly to you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we will. Mate, we're massive fans.
The impact that those boys have had over in Greece is unbelievable.
Mm.
It is unbelievable. And look, let's not make any bones about it. Migrants in Greece, or, you know, families who maybe look a little bit different, have had a rough time in Greece over the last, you know, well, God knows how long.
Mm.
You know, these boys, you know, despite the color of their skin and despite everything that they went through, which yeah. is not a small thing,
mm-hmm.
love Greece, are always promoting Greece.
Yeah.
They are, they're Greeker than Greek
yeah.
in many they respects. Are. And, you know,
definitely.
And we're richer for it.
Mm.
You know, so hats off to those boys. You know, they do a yearly trip up to the Acropolis as well with their families.
Mm.
They take lots of photos. They're always big on connecting with the Greek audience when they play as well mm. in the US. So yeah. they're, you know, there's always someone with a Greek flag there, or there's a section of Greeks, you know, and they always make a point of going up to them and,
yeah.
you know, sort of connecting with them. Mm. There's a lot of respect there as well. Like, I've heard, you know, someone asked Yanis at one point to sign a Greek flag, and he wouldn't sign the flag. He's like, you know, that's sort of disrespectful sort of thing. I'll sign whatever else you want.
Sacred. But we don't sign that. Yeah.
Exactly. So it was fantastic to meet someone that is that important in world sport, you know, who we yeah. can sort of claim as our own. And, mate, you know, they were born, you know, born in Greece. You know, they yep. went through a lot, as yep. we've seen in the movie. But, you know, they'll yeah. tell you firsthand, we're from Sepolia.
They got their opportunities through people in Greece as well. You know, there's a lot of amazing inspirational story for those of you that have seen the movie. Again, we won't touch on it too much, but it wasn't for the Greeks. He did help Yanis and his brothers and so forth exceed these heights. So yeah.
What it really highlights is that there's no clear-cut good and bad guys.
Yep.
Everyone goes through trials and tribulations.
Exactly.
Some more than others. You know, the great part about this story is that these boys did rise, you know, I mean, it's the yeah. name of the film, you know, they That's rose right. above all of that stuff
yeah.
and managed to become some of the most successful sports people in the world.
Yeah.
It was an absolute honor to meet him. You know, I've met some pretty famous people, a lot of them in Athens, actually, believe yeah, it or not. I met Steve Tyler from Aerosmith in Athens back in 2009.
You told, yeah, what was that about? You went to buy a bouzouki, didn't you? Or
I went to buy a guitar for my cousin,
mm-hmm.
sort of picked the guitar out and was ready to sort of pay for it and, you know, Steve Tyler walks in the shop.
Wow.
This is in the bouzouki shop, Monastiraki.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sort of looking at my wife, you know, she was my girlfriend at the time, and I just said, hold the guitar. She goes, what's wrong? Like, you see that guy? She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's Steve Tyler. Who's that? The only way that she would know him is from that song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Mm.
You know, from that Armageddon soundtrack.
That's right, yeah.
I'm like, you know that song? She's like, yeah. Okay, he sings it. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Most Greeks,
you know, she's like, okay, that's impressive, yeah. I guess. And I'm yeah. just like, oh my God. Like, yeah. this is the weirdest part for me was that, you know, growing up, I had a poster on my wall of James Hetfield from Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
When James Hetfield was growing up,
mm-hmm.
he had Steve Tyler from Aerosmith on his wall.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is my, you know, my hero's hero sort of yeah. thing. You know what I mean? It's a... Yeah, you know, it's getting meta here.
Yeah, know? Fantastic. So,
and, you know, it's freaking Aerosmith.
Place
know?
To be, Athens.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a great city. Look, it's come a long way, Athens, hasn't it? And that's why a lot of celebrities are going there. So if you read, again, the news we've been reading, you know, a lot of celebrities and actors and politicians, they're all flocking, like, to Greece as well. You know, they go to Athens and they go to the islands. Like, I was reading the other day that Mo Salah, the Liverpool legendary soccer player, is there, and all these models and actresses. Mate, it's like the hub, isn't yeah. it, of Europe. Everyone well, wants to be
actually,
there.
Actually, now that we're talking about celebrities, when I got back from Athens, that night we went out to a restaurant
mm-hmm.
in Corfu, just me and my wife and the little one. Fairly well-known restaurant in Corfu called Avli mm-hmm. in Garitsa, pretty prominent place.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were there,
yep.
Willem Dafoe was there.
Kidding.
The actor.
Wow.
He was there.
Yep.
I didn't even see him. The guy that owns the restaurant, who I'm mates with, put it up on Facebook.
Far out.
And I saw it the next morning. I'm like, where the hell was he? I didn't see him. This is outside. And, you know, I think thinking back, I kind of did see where, you know, where his group was sitting, but didn't Jerry at all, you know, that he was over there. Another celebrity that's over there right now, as we speak, is Nia Vardalos, because they're shooting My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 over
that's
there.
Right.
And they were scouting for locations while I was over there.
And they're in Corfu.
Right now, they're filming as we speak.
Mm.
So there's a lot of really prominent people in Greece and in Corfu right now.
Yeah, they are. Did you put your hand up to meet them? Or
mate, if I was going to be there, if I was going to be there during filming, I would have absolutely put in to be an extra. And in fact, the casting director for the film was at my brother-in-law's Café Neo a couple of weeks before. You know, while he was having like a live music event there, you know, in the village. It was like a mini panigiri in a lot of ways. And she was there.
Yeah.
And my cousin said, oh, yeah, she's the casting director. I'm like, okay. Well, if I was here, I'd put in for it. Try and get my, as you say, try and get my melon on the big screen. Yeah. But nah. No. That didn't line up for me, mate. I was lucky. You know, all my luck ran out with Giannis. That's it.
Yeah. So we've got heads for podcasting only, huh?
Absolutely. Let's let's just stick to that.
Yeah, classic. Good stuff. Mate, can I ask you another thing? Tell me about the frappe in Greece. Is it exactly like it is here? Is it different there?
You know,
we've
what?
Had this debate about this before, I'm
I
sure.
I didn't have one frappe while I was over there.
Really?
I had Freddo's.
Okay,
not frappe.
Sorry, Freddo.
Yeah.
So you're like the new age guy. So I went there in the 90s. And it was all about frappe.
Nah, the Freddo has superseded everything now.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. And you can understand why, because it's from properly ground coffee. It's not instant, whereas frappe is all instant coffee.
Yeah, Nescafe.
That's it. I was going through about, you know, three or four of them a day.
Really?
Not good for your blood pressure and not good for, you know, for your caffeine intake, for sure. But yeah, the coffee over there... Yeah. That in particular is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it can't
beautiful.
Get better.
Okay.
So no disrespect to all the, you know, to all the coffee shops that we frequent here, but there's something else about...
You're kidding. So there is a difference.
100%.
Even though they use the same ingredients here, maybe what? It's the water maybe.
I mean, it's obviously got something to do with the quality of the coffee too, but we've got awesome quality coffee
here. We do. We've got
the
best coffee in the world here.
I think so as well, but there's something... I don't know. Maybe there's something about the lower quality coffee. Maybe the quality is different over there. Maybe it works better cold.
I guess it's what you're used to. Because if you go to America, they reckon they got the best coffee because that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
We think we got the best coffee because that's what we're used to. It could be something along those lines.
Australians in particular, though, I've found, are really anal about their coffee.
Mm.
I can't think of any other place where we, you know, where people are so anal retentive about how they order, what they order, and you know, they're just so particular about it. Whereas most people, it's just about, okay, I need a caffeine hit. I don't care where it comes from, whether it's instant, a proper brew, or whatever the hell it is. Just give me something.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So it's interesting. So frappe's on the out. Freddo's on the way in, or already in.
It's very much
over.
Already in. Very much already in. I'm sure there's still people that drink frappe regularly
in their 40s and above.
I'm not sure. I think there's probably still a mix, but you know, 99%. Well, no, 100% of the people that I was around.
Yeah.
It's all about the Freddo.
Okay, cool.
Always cappuccino, espresso, doesn't matter. Yeah. I was drinking the espresso.
Yeah, okay.
No milk. Just straight out with ice.
Metrio?
No, Schetto.
Schetto.
Yeah, hardcore,
shit.
Mate.
Fuck.
Hardcore. Jeez. Actually, I've got a cousin that runs a Café Neo, and I ordered a Freddo espresso for her, and she goes, Metrio? I'm like, no, Schetto. And she goes, put some sugar in your life, mate.
Did you tell her you're sweet enough?
Yeah, of course I did. She's like, very funny.
Yeah.
She's heard it all before.
She hears it 20 times a day.
Yeah. But she thought I was strange. She's like, really, man? Like, how can you drink it like that? It's no.
Where are you from?
Yeah.
Classic.
This is the same person, though, that, if you know, years ago I went there and said, you know, give me a tea.
Mm.
And tea in Greece is like, are you sick? What's wrong?
Yeah, exactly. You know, got a sore throat.
Yeah. Tea is just for when you're sick. It's not.
Yeah.
It's nothing else.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. Aside from the coffee, though, I've got a bone to pick with something else, with the food.
Okay, here we go. Yep.
I'm going to be really controversial here. The best pita that I've had, pitogiro, for mine is in Corfu, and I'm biased, obviously.
Yep.
But the reason why is because they put salsa in it. So... on top of what you normally get in the, you know, from the giradika here, they also put this sauce, which is a cross between a red sauce and a gravy that's got this sort of spice in it, the spizzerico spice mix that they use a lot in Corfu. And because they put that in, man, it just slides down so much easier.
Wow.
But to
is,
me...
Is it the juices of the gyro coming down, or is it something readily made actually on the side?
I suspect they might use some of that, but there's it's definitely a tomato-based thing.
Okay.
So almost like a pastizada type thing. And man, wow, without that, to me, it's just not a pita. So I'm throwing the challenge out there to the people that have gyradika here.
Yep.
Get yourself a good salsa as an option to put in your pitas. It has to happen.
Yeah.
It's so good. And anyone who doesn't like it needs their head read.
Yeah.
It's outstanding.
Okay. It's a good question we should ask. We've got a local resident in Sydney who's...
Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly Rodinitis, who's the Euros queen. Yeah. The Euros queen. Yeah. We've got to get her on the show. And look, I've actually had this discussion with her already.
Mm.
It's like, mate, you know, without salsa, it's not... To me, it's not a pita.
Yeah.
It's just not. They do them differently in Thessaloniki, and everyone's got their own way, right? You ask someone to have a pita in Thessaloniki who's not from there, and they'll say, you don't put mustard in a pita. But in Thessaloniki, they do. I had a friend come to Corfu years ago and try one of the pitas there, and they're just like, what the hell is this salsa? And it's like, really? You don't like it?
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's not supposed to be in there. It's like, dude, you got problems.
Wow.
You've got problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
That's my bone.
Okay, fine. And what, actually, can I ask you, what was the price of the pites in Greece?
About €3. About €3 now.
It's not too bad. Is that in Corfu only, or?
I didn't have one in Athens, if I'm honest, but it's been a thing in the last... in the last few months, that everyone's freaking out about the price of the price of a pita.
Yeah, because we measure our inflation on the price of a pita and a frappe.
Yeah.
So what was a frappe worth?
I think or it was a freddo? About two. I think it was about €2 to, yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It sort of varied a bit. The thing that freaked me out the most, though, is the price of petrol over there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, €2.50.
Shit.
And we're freaking out here over... You know, $2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, about $2.30 now since you've come back.
Think about how much more expensive it is over there.
Yeah.
That's almost a full dollar more.
Yeah.
You know, that's like $3 here.
Well, it costs you $20 to fill up your babaki now.
Probably.
Instead of $5.
Well, I told the guy at the petrol station at one point, I'm like, fill it up. He's like, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to fill it up. Are you sure? Yes. Fill it up.
Yeah.
Probably hadn't heard those words in a while, you know, fill the tank up.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. €3 for a pita, €2 for a
something freddo. Like that. I can't remember exactly, but it was somewhere around there.
Yeah, look, it has gone up, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. It was
around. Man, a pita used to be about €1-2.
Yeah, that's what I remember it as.
You know?
Yeah, it was nothing. You could have like two a day.
Yeah, you could live off them.
Yeah.
It's got all the basic food groups in it, mate. You've covered everything.
A bit of tzatziki, you've covered everything. Got dairy and everything. Done.
Dairy, veg, fruit.
Proteins, yeah.
The tomatoes are fruit, so, you know, you've covered everything.
Yeah, sounds great, Tom. So I heard you did a little bit of recording as well with someone else in Greece, which we are going to talk about in another episode.
I did, mate. I actually took some time out and met with Spiros Daphnis, who actually owns and runs the Governor Olive Mill in Corfu. It's one of the only olive oils that's certified to have health benefits as well, apparently. It's broken some kind of record. There's all sorts of interesting things about this olive oil, and at the end of the day, it tastes amazing. So I sat down for a chat with Spiro, which we recorded, and we're going to bring that to you in the next few weeks, so make sure you tune in to that. It's a great discussion about the importance of the olive, the importance of the work that he's done, and just in general about olive oil, because, guys, we eat it every day. It's virtually in everything that we eat. So, you know, it made sense to have a discussion with him, and he was very generous with his time, an absolutely lovely, you know, lovely human being who's doing great work around there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, we eat it every day. We've been eating it for the last 5,000 years.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of health qualities. But, yeah, look, really looking forward to that discussion as well. So, and you actually did it in his distillery, didn't you? You went into...
His mill, yeah, his olive.
His mill, olive, his olive mill.
Yeah, it was...
So I've always got alcohol on my mind.
Oh, geez, we're slowly crossing that line into alcoholism, you can tell, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we did actually do it in the mill there, and it's interesting because he's got the old mill
mm-hmm.
right across from where the new mill is.
Mm.
So you can see how olives were pressed hundreds of years ago,
mm.
you know, with these granite stones, you know, sort of pulled by donkey and whatnot.
Wow.
So all these really old things. And then on the other side of this little path,
mm-hmm.
essentially, you've got a cold press olive mill.
Mm.
Which is state of the art, which is, you know, it is the greatest way to press olives.
Mm.
And look, the way that he was talking about it, it was more akin to speaking about wine than it was olives.
Okay.
There's a whole other process of how to create the best type of olive oil.
Yeah.
And, yeah, look, we're going to talk about it, and you're going to hear about it in the coming episodes.
Fantastic. Sounds good. Oh, we won't dwell too much into it. I guess the sad ending is you have to come home. And I must admit, I feel like I've seen you for a week now. We've caught up a few times. And no joke, you look like you're depressed. You don't look, you're not yourself.
I'm not myself, mate. I tell you what, I put this little video up on my personal personal social channel. While I was away, I was doing morning walks.
Mm.
And I took the camera with me and the little gimbal and whatnot, and, you know, sort of walking around Bajo Kastritsa. You know, I'd have my morning walk up to the monastery, walk down, and go for a dip in the, you know, in the ocean there. Outstanding water, beautiful,
yeah.
Absolutely beautiful there. And then as soon as we got back, you know, we've had a week and a bit worth of rain in Sydney, and like violent weather
and floods now
and floods, yeah. I still went for my morning walk in amongst all this. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to film this as well. So then I cut a little video together comparing the two. It's like, here's my morning walk in Greece and here's my morning walk here in Sydney today. And it's just depressing.
Huge compare. Yeah, I can see why.
You know, even though we're right next to the water, you know, on this walk, you know, there was, you know, there's wind whipping around everywhere. The ocean's, you know, frothing.
Brown color.
Brown. Yeah, it has been brown, actually, because of all the, you know, all the rain that's been, you know, that's been coming. There's a dump truck right next to me sort of beeping, picking up garbage. And it's yep, I'm absolutely living the dream here now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because we've had so much bad rain, we've got potholes everywhere. And
we're doing well.
Yeah, it's crazy. But look, yeah, like I said, look, you are looking better now, I must admit. It's been, what, 2 weeks now?
It's been just over a week now. But it's because we're here, mate.
Yeah.
It's because we're doing this again.
Yeah.
And that's been the whole point of this podcast. I said it on with Moss. The whole point of this podcast was to fix that psychology that we had. Lockdown had ruined our psychologia.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we were doing it. And it's doing it again. So now being back. So, you know, thanks for having me again, Nick.
It was good. Welcome back, mate. It was great to see you. Actually, it was quite dour without you here, mate, because we haven't been recording, obviously. And
I light up your life.
You do, mate. I've got no one to talk of lucky ears with. So... It's the whole idea.
There's plenty coming up. Like I said, we've got the interview with Spiro about the olive oil.
Definitely.
Coming up there.
There's Yanni. We'll talk about the movie Rise.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
And there's a couple other things we've got in the works as well. So we'll see how we go with that.
There's plenty in the works. So guys, stay tuned. If you haven't followed us on social media, at Uzo Talk and at Uzo _talk on Instagram, if you want to get in touch with us, make sure you email us at uzotalk@outlook.com.
Or Instagram. We're getting a few on Instagram now, so that's easier for some people.
Message us on Instagram, share the podcast, make sure you're subscribed on your favorite platform as well.
And YouTube as well. Get on there and subscribe us as well. So we've started to put a few videos together. We had a really good one of Thanasi.
Yeah, so the one Greek episode that we've done, you know, for those who speak Greek and understand Greek, we did that last episode with Thanasi Polikandrioti, who is an absolute legend of the bouzouki.
Top bloke.
Where he did a private performance for us and told us a really nice story about writing a song for Stelio Kazadzidi. So if you haven't seen that, make sure you jump on our YouTube channel.
And how funny was it? His manager wanted to get out of there. He didn't want to leave.
Yeah, he just kept playing.
Yeah.
Paul Wayne.
Play this song. And Wayne goes, hey, boys, we've got another appointment to go to. And the poor bloke just wanted more tipro and wanted to play bouzouki.
I felt bad. I felt bad because I was just like, oh, shit, like we've got to get him out of here. And he just kept playing.
Yeah, and he loved his tipro too, didn't he?
He did. He loved it.
He was knocking it back.
Actually, it was the Nick Andriatakis tipro that he liked.
Yeah.
It was the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
He's Mate, done well.
He's the man. I love Nick. Nick, if you're listening, we run out of Tibro. We literally run out today.
Let's just call him back and say, Nick, just come and sit with us. It doesn't matter. Just bring one bottle.
Yeah.
Just one bottle.
How good is he? And he makes his own red wine as well.
He does,
from an amphora.
That's right.
The ancient Greek style.
Beautiful. That's right.
Yeah. No oak, just straight from an amphora.
Yeah. And it's great stuff.
It is.
If you haven't heard that episode on Greek wines, we talk about that amphora wine in that episode. So jump onto that.
Good stuff, mate. Look, I think it's time to wrap this up.
Oh, do we have to?
We've run out of Tibro, Nick.
We have. We can't keep going.
No. If we had more Tibro, we probably would have.
Probably.
Yeah.
Good stuff, mate. Well, thank you very much for having me. Mm. Thank you very much for starting this all back up again.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's all happening.
It's great to be back. And I think we're going to go from bigger and better things. Thank you for those that have supported us and those that continue to support us. But it's all looking good. We're heading into good places.
Exciting times ahead. Good to see you, Nick.
Okay, mate. Welcome back.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Ακολουθήστε μας στο Soundees, στο Spotify, στο Apple Podcasts και στο Google Podcasts.